first item of old business is subdivision 2023-14, North Star Property LLC.
Okay. Here we go, folks. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2023-14 for North Star Property LLC with conditions and limitations based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this is one of the largest subdivisions that the commission has recently considered. It has certainly received a lot of attention, and there has been a lot of information submitted into the record. The commission has considered all of this information in reaching its conclusion. Regardless of size, subdivisions in Sussex County are governed by the subdivision and zoning codes. Delaware law and the Delaware courts mandate that if a subdivision meets the requirements of the subdivision and zoning codes, then it is permitted. Two, for the reasons stated in this motion, this application complies with the subdivision and zoning codes. Therefore, it is appropriate to approve this subdivision with appropriate conditions and for the reasons that will be stated as part of this motion. Number three, the applicant is seeking approval of a clustered subdivision of 758 single-family lots upon 379.02 acres. This is truly a large subdivision, but it is in a location where many other subdivisions and other types of residential development has already occurred. This single, large, and interconnected subdivision with an integrated design is preferable to multiple unrelated and isolated developments that have no relationship to one another. Four, although the county does not yet have a master plan ordinance, master planning is a longstanding goal of Sussex County. A subdivision of this size and scope, coupled with the simultaneous applications for affordable housing and commercial space, and the privately constructed segment of Mulberry Knoll Road, essentially creates a master plan community that is superior to several unrelated and uncoordinated developments. Plus, one consolidated subdivision enables the commission to attach appropriate conditions that would not be possible or effective with several different and unrelated developments. Five, the subdivision will satisfy the permitted density within the AR1 zone, and the lots will be no smaller than 7,500 square feet in size. Six, the subdivision is in an area that has already had a mixture of residential and commercial zoning and development. There are GR, MR, and AR1 residential zoning districts and manufactured home parks in the immediate vicinity of this development. Nearby commercial zoning districts include the C1, CR1, and B1 zoning districts. This AR1 subdivision, with its proposed and permitted density of 2 units per acre, is consistent with the existing zoning and uses in this area. Seven, the subdivision is located within the coastal area according to the future land use map that is contained in the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The subdivision is permissible in the coastal area according to the plan, which states that a range of housing types should be permitted, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. Eight, the project will be served by central water from Tidewater Utilities, and wastewater will be provided by Sussex County. Both utilities have stated that they have the ability to serve this substation or subdivision. Nine, the subdivision is within the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District. Therefore, the development will be required to enter into an infrastructure recoupment agreement and pay a TID per unit fee to the issuance of every residential building permit. DLDOT has stated that the intent of the TID is to plan comprehensively and thereby enable both land development and the transportation improvements needed to support it. For residential developments that are consistent with the land use and transportation plan developed for the TID, the application is required to pay a fee per dwelling unit in lieu of doing a TIS and making off-site improvements in accordance therewith. The proposed development is in accordance with the LUTP. Therefore, the developer will be required to pay the TID fees as stated above. In summary, DLDOT has stated that this subdivision is consistent with its projections for the development of this property and the planned roadway improvements within the TID. Still, additional DLDOT improvements will be required for vehicular and pedestrian movements within the site and onto Route 1, Beaver Dam Road, and the construction of Mulberry Knoll Road. 10, even though the subdivision will be located in the TID, it will still be required to construct entrance and roadway improvements necessary for safe vehicular and pedestrian access to the development. As explained by DLDOT during the hearing, since this is just the preliminary stage of the process, the developer and DLDOT have not yet considered record plans and entrance plans. And until they do, no time frame or phasing of improvements will be established. Therefore, as part of this approval, there's a condition that the construction of these improvements shall be tied to the subdivision's phasing, which shall be presented as part of the final site plan. Number 10, the property contains approximately 19.505 acres of non-tidal wetlands as delineated on by the applicant's consultants. All of these wetlands shall have enhanced protections, including the establishment of conservation areas that will be shown on the final site plan and marked on the site itself with appropriate signage. A drainage assessment report was prepared and provided by the applicant as required by code. Under that assessment, both defined and undefined intermittent stream channels associated with wide non-tidal wetlands provide drainage to the site. The stream banks are low and no erosion issues exist that require correction, and there's no evidence of conditions impacting the ability of these areas to drain that site. Also, these intermittent streams are surrounded by abutting non-tidal wetlands that include the buffering required by code. And again, the wetlands themselves are further buffered and protected by the project's conservation areas. Number 12, a portion of the property is located within an excellent recharge area and will comply with the requirements of Chapter 89 of the Sussex County Code. The record includes a report addressing compliance with Chapter 89, and the final design and development of the project will be reviewed by the County Engineering Department for compliance with the requirements of this chapter. Number 13, this subdivision has a design that is superior to that of a standard subdivision for many reasons, including the following. A, the lots and amenities are clustered on the most environmentally suitable portions of the property. B, the areas of the property that will be improved with roads, lots, amenities, and infrastructure avoid the areas where wetlands are located. Additionally, these areas will be further protected through the establishment of conservation areas, greater setbacks, and signage. C, the design includes substantial tree preservation by preserving approximately 22.956 acres of existing woodland, which results in the preservation of approximately 81% of the 28.127 acres of existing woodlands on the property. This is a superior design to what could occur under a standard subdivision. D, the design includes approximately 166.529 acres of land that will be open space. This represents approximately 44% of the site. This exceeds the code's requirement that 30% of the site shall be preserved as open space. This also substantially exceeds the amount of open space that would remain in a standard subdivision with much larger lots. E, the open space with the conditions imposed by this motion is integrated into the design of the community so that it results in large areas of open space instead of many small pockets of it. Also, all of the lots throughout the development back up to open space. F, there will be a buffer that is at least 30 feet in width around the subdivision. In many places, this buffer is greater than 30 feet in width. This exceeds what would occur in a standard subdivision, and it exceeds the buffer requirements for cluster subdivisions. 14, section 99-9C of the subdivision code requires the commission to consider 17 different items relating to the site plan. The applicant has addressed the requirements of section 99-9C of the code, and there are conditions of disapproval that are based upon those 17 items. Specifically, this project complies with this section 99-9C in the following ways. A, the subdivision is integrated into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape, and it is compatible with area land uses. It is in an infill development surrounded by a variety of residential and commercial zoning districts and uses. Some of the residential developments have a higher density than what is proposed here. It will also provide forested buffers along its property lines to integrate into the surrounding landscape. It is consistent with and integrated into the surroundings. B, there is a minimal use of wetlands with minimal effect on area waterways. This is supported by reports contained in the record. None of the wetlands will be disturbed except for one permitted crossing. The wetlands will be further protected with conservation areas, and there are no floodplains that will be impacted by the developed area of this project. C, natural and historic features are preserved, including the wetlands. Additionally, an archaeological assessment was prepared by the applicant. D, open space and scenic views have been preserved, approximately 166.529 acres, or 44% of the site, is preserved as active and passive open space. E, tree and vegetation removal and grade changes are minimized. 22.956 acres of the existing 28.127 acres of woodlands are being preserved. This is 81% of the existing woodlands. The areas to be preserved are based upon a forest stand delineation that determined that there is no tier one forest cover within the project. While Sussex County does not have forest stand delineations within its code, This classification is based upon established code standards elsewhere, and the designation represents the highest quality of forest sand. Regarding grade changes, the site will be balanced, meaning that there will be that the need to import or export soils from the site should be minimal, and that grade changes will be limited to the need to establish proper drainage within the site. F, the site will be screened from neighboring properties and roadways through substantial buffering along its perimeter. G, surface and groundwater pollution will be prevented through the design and construction of the development and its stormwater facilities using an erosion and sediment control plan under the jurisdiction of the Sussex Conservation District in DENRAC. The project will comply with Chapter 89 of the Code regarding excellent recharge areas. Finally, the conversion of this property from agricultural use to residential development will decrease the nitrogen and phosphorus loading by approximately 40%. H, there will be safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent roadways. The project is within the TID, which considered the build-out of this property at the density proposed here, with payments for roadway improvements in the immediate area. A portion of Mulberry Knoll Road will be constructed by the developer and turned over to the state long before DelDOT could construct it. That will be a positive impact of this development on not only its residents, but also the existing and future residents and visitors to Sussex County. The subdivision's roadways will be interconnected, which is much better than what would occur with separate independent subdivisions on the same property. Also, the roadways will be interconnected with the proposed commercial development located along Route 9. I, there is no credible evidence in the record that area property values will be decreased as a result of this subdivision. J, while the project itself does not preserve farmland, it is located in an area along Route 9 near the Five Points intersection that is highly developed and where the county comprehensive plan states that development should occur. Given these circumstances, the highest, best, and most practical use of this property is no longer agricultural. Also, the applicant has provided a report stating that the development of this farmland, quote, has the potential to transform a landscape historically dominated by monoculture crops into a biodiverse and interconnected ecosystem. This approach will enhance habitat value immediately, unquote. K, the possible impact upon local schools has been considered under the typical course of development. This project will take place over at least a 10-year period, considering the need to get all agency approvals, receive final site plan approval, and then construct the various phases of it. That, plus the anticipated age and family demographics of the future residents, means that there will not be substantial influx of new students all at once. This is supported by a report submitted in the record stating that approximately 54% of the units will be occupied full-time, and of those units, only 47 new public school students will live in the subdivision. On the other hand, the subdivision will increase tax revenues to the local school district. 15, this preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than 758 lots within the subdivision. These lots shall be phased in pursuant to a phasing plan submitted as part of the final site plan. B, the final site plan shall confirm that 160 acres or 42% of the site shall remain open as open space, and with this condition, at least 30% of the site's open space shall be located on one contiguous tract of land. The open space on the western portion of the site shall be modified to create greater contiguity and to promote the goal of the applicant's consultant for landscape ecology and sustainable design to create a biodiverse and interconnected system to enhance habitat immediately and provide lasting enjoyment for residents. To accomplish this, the proposed connection of Road E to Road B shall be eliminated along with the current location of lots 202, 203, and 221 through 225, so that open space A is one large interconnected area of open space. Road E can be redesigned to connect to Road C, but the improved open space design required by this condition shall remain in the final design. C, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, conservation areas, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. D, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. E, there shall be a vegetated or forested buffer that is at least 30 feet wide installed along the perimeter of this subdivision in accordance with the planning requirements of the Sussex County Code. This buffer shall utilize existing forest or similar vegetation that exists in the buffer area. Where trees currently exist in the buffer area, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within the buffer shall be prohibited. All silt fencing shall be located along the interior limit of the buffer area, the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development, and the final site plan shall identify the limit of disturbance to prevent disturbance of the buffer area. F, approximately 23 acres of the existing 28 acres of the existing woodlands on the site shall be preserved. This represents 81% of the existing woodlands. The areas of woodlands to be preserved shall be shown on the final site plan as non-disturbance areas. Silt fencing shall be established or installed along the perimeter of these wooded areas to avoid disturbance during site work and construction. G, the proposed conservation areas, which are more extensive than what is required for resource buffers pursuant to section 115-193, shall be created to include waters, wetlands, and these areas shown on the preliminary site plan shall be permanently protected, delineated, and described in the final site plan and the recorded declarations of covenants, conditions, easements, and restrictions for the subdivision. Because these conservation areas extend beyond the areas protected under section 115-193, it is appropriate to modify the signage requirements to permit their location at the perimeter of the conservation area. Therefore, the 5-inch by 7-inch signage shall be located along the entire perimeter of all conservation areas at 200-foot intervals. The signage shall state conservation area boundary, all management activities to be in accordance with community's resource buffer management plan. Where trees currently exist within the conservation areas that include the resources and resource buffers, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within them shall be prohibited. Required silt fencing shall be installed upland of those conservation areas to avoid disturbance. The development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements, and it shall be part of the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District, or TID. The development will be required to enter into an infrastructure recoupment agreement between DLDOT, the developer, and Sussex County, and pay a TID per unit fee prior to the issuance of every residential building permit. The final version of the recoupment agreement shall be modified so that item 4A of the draft agreement in the record is deleted. This provision currently states that no individual off-site road projects will be required as a separate cost for individual developments participating in the agreement as a condition of approval by DLDOT or the county. This provision is inapplicable in this instance since there are off-site improvements that are to occur, including the extension of Mulberry Knoll Road. DLDOT and the applicant shall determine appropriate fee credits associated with the applicant's construction of the extension of Mulberry Knoll Road. I, as proffered by the applicant shall construct all of the extension of Mulberry Knoll Road within its property and connecting to Route 9 and Beaver Dam Road during the initial phases of the subdivision. In furtherance of this, one, the applicant shall submit construction plans to DLDOT for the construction of the extension of Mulberry Knoll Road as soon as possible, but no later than 6 months after the approval of the final site plan for the phase one. Two, the applicant shall submit for an entrance permit for the construction of the Mulberry Knoll Road extension within 2 weeks of DLDOT's approval of the construction plans and will diligently pursue all requirements for DLDOT to issue a notice to proceed for the work. Three, the applicant shall achieve substantial completion of the Mulberry Knoll Road extension within 18 months of the issuance of a notice to proceed by DLDOT. Four, no more than 120 building permits shall be issued in any calendar year. Five, should substantial completion of the Mulberry Knoll Road extension not be granted before the issuance of the 240th residential building permit, no further building permits shall be issued until such time as substantial completion is granted. Six, the applicant and representatives of Sussex County shall endeavor to request that DLDOT expedite its review and approval of the design and construction plans and issuance of the notice of proceed for Mulberry Knoll Road. J, in addition to the Mulberry Knoll Road extension, There will be other off-site roadway and entrance improvements constructed by the applicant that are necessary to provide safe vehicular and pedestrian access to the subdivision. Given the location and size of the development shall provide a phasing schedule that shall coordinate and establish the time frame and phasing of lot construction and the construction of the off-site entrance and roadway improvements that DLDOT will require as a result of the development that are not covered by the TID. The phasing schedule shall be presented to the planning and zoning as part of the final site plan and shall demonstrate that the off-site improvements required by DLDOT will be completed prior to or simultaneous with this project reaching substantial completion. K, sidewalks shall be installed on both sides of all streets along with a connection to the DLDOT multimodal path. A street lighting system that provides lighting in a downward direction with minimal uplighting shall be provided. L, as stated by the applicant, the active recreational amenities for the subdivision shall include two clubhouses. One shall have a minimum size of 3,000 square feet, and the other shall have a minimum size of 5,000 square feet. There shall also be two pools. One shall have a water surface of area of 1,800 square feet, and the other shall have a water surface area of 2,250 square feet. Additional active amenities shall include a splash pad or kiddie pool, at least three sports courts, four playgrounds, and four open play areas. Both pools and clubhouses shall be constructed and open to use by the residents of the development on or before the issuance of the 60th residential building permit for the entire community in accordance with Section 99-21E of the Subdivision Code. The remaining amenities shall be constructed and open to use on or before the issuance of the 60th residential building permit within the phase where that amenity is located. The final site plan shall contain specific details as to the size and location of each of these amenities and confirming the phase that they relate to. M, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. N, street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County standards. In addition, the interior roadways shall include vehicular and pedestrian interconnection with the proposed commercial area at the corner of Route 9 and Mulberry Knoll Extension. This interconnectivity will provide an internal means of access into the commercial area without having to access the exterior Route 9 or Mulberry Knoll roadways. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Geographical Information Office. P, construction, site work, and delivery shall only occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. No Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction. Q, the applicant shall coordinate with the local school district regarding the location of school bus stops within the subdivision. The location of the bus stop areas shall be shown on the final site plan. R, the applicant shall install a 6-foot-high stockade-style fence along the boundary between the subdivision and the properties along Beaver Dam Road owned by the Elks Lodge and Pam Am Stables. No trespassing signs shall be installed at 100-foot intervals along the fence. The applicant shall be required to reimburse the Elks Lodge for the cost of relocating its signage if required as part of roadway improvements. S, the final site plan and recorded restrictive covenants shall state that agricultural activities exist nearby, and they shall include the agricultural use protection notice. Both of these documents shall include a similar notice that hunting activities may also occur on nearby properties. T, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan depicting all landscaping to be provided or preserved in all of the buffer and conservation areas. The landscape plan shall also clearly show all forested areas that will be preserved. The landscape plan shall also identify all limits of disturbance within the site. U, the final site plan shall include a grading plan for each phase of the subdivision. No building permit shall be issued for individual lots until an individual lot grading plan has been supplied to and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a grading certificate is submitted to the Building Code Department demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. V, a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting these conditions, must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. W, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The final site plan may be approved in phases, provided that the applicant shall initially supply a phasing plan with the first final site plan submitted for approval. That is my motion, sir.
Before I second it, I just want to go back on number 9. I think you stated Route 9, Route 1 instead of Route 9, just to make it straight for the record.
I thought I corrected that in line.
That was the first one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I'm not picking on you, because that's the longest motion ever. So thank you. And I second the motion.
Thank you for catching it.
I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2023-14, North Star Property LLC, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Before I cast my vote, I would just like to say, as you can see by the length of this motion, there's a lot of thought and discussion that was put into this decision. And I'd like to thank Mr. Robertson for coordinating all of that for us, because it was a lot of discussion going back and forth. I'd also like to encourage the developer to make a voluntary school assessment to the Cape and Lopen School District. We have paperwork that they are at their max, and I know that the statistics show that it's going to be a length of time before this will be built out, but I think that would be appropriate for them to do that, and I encourage County Council to encourage them to do that as well if this gets moved forward. And I'd also like to encourage the developer to make any additional contributions to the local fire department. And we know that they're at their max as well. So having said all that, Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve with the yes, I vote yes, because of the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
All right, thank you. Mr. Mears.
I totally agree with Commissioner Wingate, and a lot of attention was spent trying to incorporate people's comments and concerns into the motion, too. We can't make everybody happy, but we did our best. So therefore, I vote yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Collins.
I vote yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion and concur with my fellow commissioners who've spoken about voluntary contribution to the school system and to the fire department. I would also like to say that it is, I think, promising that this development, because of the size of it, is able to accelerate development of an extension of Mulberry Road that otherwise might be several years before it would actually come to fruition. So.
Okay, Mr. Butler.
I vote yes for reasons conditions stated in a motion, and I agree with everybody. I mean, this is going to be the best outcome for Sussex County from what the choices are.
All right, sir, thank you. The chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion, concurring with all of the remarks that the other commissioners have placed in the record, and also want to add my personal thanks to the staff and to Mr. Robertson for doing a very thorough and comprehensive job in constructing this motion. And with that, the motion carries 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to thank you for those kind words, and certainly the staff was actively involved with this. Because it was an extensive record, there was a lot of information that was in the record, and I know that you all considered that in depth. So nobody gets any misconceptions. There were not any virtual meetings or virtual conversations that occurred. There weren't any discussions among the commission that it did not occur in public. Certainly there were discussions that happened during the public hearing, questions asked, and then there was follow-up meetings where there was some talk, but that did not occur behind the scenes. And I think that's understood and implied, but I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, our next item is a change of zone number 2026 North Star Property LLC.
Okay, here we go. All right, Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change of zone 2026 North Star Property LLC for a change in zone from AR1 to MR based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this application seeks a change in zone from AR1 to MR. The purpose of the MR zone is to provide housing in an area which is expected to become urban in character and where central water and sewer is available. Two, the stated purpose of the MR district is satisfied for this site. Both central water and central sewer will be available. It is also in an area with a more urban character, including a variety of large and small business, commercial and office uses, and higher density residential development across Route 9 from this site. The location along Route 9 is also in close proximity to Route 1 and the Five Points intersection and the commercial corridor of business and commercial uses there. It is also located along one of DART's bus routes. This rezoning is consistent with other zoning and other land uses in the area. Number three, the proposed MR zoning meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth of the county in an appropriate location. Four, the site is located within the coastal area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. MR zoning is appropriate in this area according to the plan. Five, the intended use of this property will be to allow the development of it with affordably priced multifamily residential rental units. This is an appropriate use for this location given its surroundings. Six, the comprehensive plan suggests that higher densities such as those permitted in the MR district can be appropriate where there is water and sewer available, there are appropriate roadways to handle the density, and there are nearby commercial or employment centers. All those factors are satisfied with regard to this application. Seven, DelDOT has stated that the proposed rezoning to MR will have a minor impact upon local area roadways. However, the property is within the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District. Therefore, any future development will be required to enter into an infrastructure recoupment agreement and pay a TID per unit fee prior to the issuance of every residential building permit. Eight, any future use of the property will be subject to site plan review by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Nine, for all of these reasons, MR zoning is appropriate for this site, and that is my motion, sir.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 2026 North Star Property LLC for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, the chair votes yes to the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Our next item is change of conditional use number 2499, North Star Property LLC.
Okay, if you haven't gotten enough of my voice yet. All right, Mr.
I'm hoping you have enough voice left.
I have an emergency water available now, good, so thank you
good,
for that.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 2499 North Star Property LLC for 94 multifamily units based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. Number one, the purpose of the MR zones to provide housing in an area which is expected to become urban in character and where central water and sewer is available. Central water and sewer is available to this site, and this application for multifamily units is in compliance with the purposes of the MR zone. Two, the property is in an area with a more urban character, including a variety of large and small businesses, commercial and office uses, and higher density residential development across Route 9 from this site. There is a wide variety of zoning in the immediate area, including AR1, MR, GR, C1, CR1, and B1. The C1 property across Route 9 from this project is being developed with a mixed use, including residential units at a density similar to what is proposed with this project. The location along Route 9 is also close to proximity to Route 1 and the Five Points intersection and the commercial corridor of businesses and commercial uses there. It is also located along one of DART's bus routes. This conditional use is consistent with other zoning and land uses in the area. Multifamily development is appropriate for this property adjacent to these roadways in this intersection. Number three, the proposed use is consistent with the county's comprehensive land use plan. It is in the coastal area according to the plan, which is a growth area. The plan states that medium and higher densities can be appropriate where, like here, there are features such as central water and sewer and nearby commercial uses and employment centers. The plan also states that a range of housing types should be permitted in the coastal area, including single-family homes, townhomes, and multifamily units. Number four, in this case, the purpose of the development is to provide 94 affordably priced rental units upon 7.882 acres on the eastern side of Sussex County. Because of the high price of homes and rentals in much of eastern Sussex County, housing can be unaffordable for a lot of the residents in the area, in this area of the county. Many county residents cannot afford to live near where they work, resulting in long commuting times and increased traffic on county roadways. The project will provide affordable housing at a convenient location to Sussex County residents with low to moderate income levels, who are a large part of the workforce in eastern Sussex County. Number five, the project has a density of 11.93 units per acre, which is consistent with the density that is permitted by right under the Sussex County Rental Program. However, under that program, only a portion of the units must be dedicated to affordable housing. Here, all the units are being dedicated to affordable housing. Six, according to the information stated in the record, the rental units will be available to households with incomes with less than 60% of the Sussex County median income. To comply with this, the project will be managed by a property management company that specializes in affordable housing projects with more than 30 years of experience developing affordable housing throughout Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Seven, County Council declared in Chapter 72, Section 18 of the County Code that it is the public policy of the county to A, encourage the creation of a full range of housing choices, conveniently located in suitable living environments for all incomes, ages, and family sizes. B, encourage the production of affordable rental units to meet the existing and anticipated future employment needs of the county. C, to assure that affordable rental units are dispersed throughout the county consistent with the comprehensive plan. D, encourage developments in growth areas as defined within the county's most current comprehensive plan and areas of opportunity as defined by the Delaware State Housing Authority to include a minimum percentage of affordable rental units on public water and sewer systems. E, provide incentives for developers to construct affordable rental units through tools such as the density incentive and expedited review. The proposed development is in accordance with this stated county public policy. 8, the development is consistent with the goals set forth in Chapter 8 of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan regarding housing. For example, A, Goal 8.2, ensure that a diversity of housing opportunities are available to meet the needs of residents of different ages, income levels, abilities, national origins, and household configurations. B, Objective 8.2.1, affirmatively further affordable and fair housing opportunities in the county to better accommodate the housing needs of all its residents. C, Strategy 8.2.1.3, explore ways for private developers to provide more multifamily and affordable housing opportunities. D, Objective 8.2.3, facilitate and promote land use policies that enable an increase in the supply of affordable housing in areas with adequate infrastructure. E, Strategy 8.2.3.1, promote increasing affordable housing options, including the supply of rental units near employment opportunities. This project is consistent with each of these goals in that it is located in an area where the use is consistent with the existing and planned infrastructure, and it is located near numerous employment opportunities with access to many more employment opportunities given its location on an established DART route. 9, this project received expedited treatment because of the affordable rental housing being sought as justified by the county code and the comprehensive plan. This project was also considered holistically at the same time as subdivision number 2023-14 and a C3 rezoning. Because the other applications benefited from the expedited review of this one, there is a condition of approval requiring this affordable housing project to be built first. 10, there are no wetlands located on the property. 11, DLDOT has stated that the proposed multifamily conditional use will have a minor impact upon local area roadways. However, the property is within Hanlopen Transportation Improvement District. Therefore, any future development will be required to enter into an infrastructure recoupment agreement and pay a TID per unit fee prior to the issuance of every residential building permit. 12, as part of the final site plan approval process, the stormwater management design will be reviewed and approved by the Sussex County Conservation District, ensuring that the drainage system will be adequately designed and constructed to protect adjoining developments. 13, the proposed multifamily conditional use meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth of the county in an appropriate location. 14, there is no evidence that this project will adversely affect the neighboring properties, area roadways, or community facilities. 15, with conditions imposed, including the requirement that all of the units will only be available to qualified lower moderate income county residents, the proposed conditional use meets the purpose of the zoning code and the comprehensive plan, and that it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county and its residents. 16, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than 94 units within the development. B, all the units shall be rented and occupied as part of an officially recognized federal, state, or county affordable housing program. The project shall also be managed by a property management company that is recognized and specializes in the management of affordably priced residential projects operated under federal, state, or county affordable housing programs. The name and experience of the property management company and the nature, type, and economic details of the affordable housing program shall be provided to Sussex County's staff for review prior to review and approval of the final site plan. The units must be occupied as the primary residence of the tenants. Once constructed, on the first 12-month anniversary of the first unit being occupied, and on an annual basis thereafter, the property manager for the development shall submit a certified and notarized report to the Sussex County Director of Community Development and Housing in a format acceptable to the director, which shall include the following information. One, the affordable housing program utilized by the property. Two, the eligibility criteria for tenants used by the program at the property. Three, the number of units by bedroom count that are leased to eligible tenants and those that are vacant. Four, the monthly rent charge for each unit. Five, for each unit, the household size and total household income as of the effective date of the lease and any renewals thereof. Six, a statement that, to the best of the landlord's information and knowledge, tenants who are leasing the units meet the established eligibility criteria. And seven, a status report about the type and usage of the service amenities described in condition J below. C, all entrances, intersections, roadways, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. In addition, the property is within the Hinlopen Transportation Improvement District. Therefore, any future development will be required to enter into an infrastructure recoupment agreement and pay a TID per unit fee prior to the issuance of every residential building permit. The applicant shall provide a phasing schedule that shall coordinate and establish the construction time frame of the off-site entrance and roadway improvements that DLDOT will require as a result of the development that are not covered by the TID. This phasing schedule shall be presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission as part of the final site plan and shall demonstrate that the off-site improvements required by DLDOT will be completed prior to or simultaneous with this project reaching substantial completion. D, central sewer shall be provided by the development or to the development by Sussex County. The developer shall comply with all requirements and specifications of the Sussex County Engineering Department. E, the development shall be served by a central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. F, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these fixtures. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District. G, interior street design shall comply with or exceed Sussex County standards, and sidewalks shall be installed that connect with the multimodal paths required by DLDOT. H, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Geographical Information Office. I, the applicant shall consult with the local school district's transportation manager to determine if a school bus stop is appropriate. The location of such a bus stop shall be shown on the final site plan. J, this community shall have both recreational amenities and service amenities. This recreational amenities shall include a clubhouse with a lounge, fitness center, and management offices, bike storage lockers, a playground, and play area. The size and details of these recreational amenities shall be shown on a separate amenities plan to be reviewed by the commission as part of the final site plan review. These recreational amenities shall be completed in accordance with section 115-194.5 of the code. In this instance, since the units are within larger buildings, this will require the recreational amenities to be completed prior to the issuance of the building permit for the third residential building. The service amenities shall include access to and assistance with local facilities, including but not limited to the YMCA and employment status and employment and educational opportunities and counseling. The status and use of these service amenities shall be provided in the annual report to the Sussex County Director of Community Development and Housing. K, construction, site work, and delivery shall only occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and between 7 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturdays. No Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction. L, a 30-foot wide forested buffer shall be installed along the perimeter of the development adjacent to Lewis Crossing. This buffer area shall comply with the planning requirements for such a buffer as contained in Section 99-5 of the Sussex County Code. M, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan for the development showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design, including the buffer areas. The landscape plan shall include the limits of disturbance within the site, and these limits of disturbance shall be clearly marked on the site itself. N, all lighting on the site shall not exceed 18 feet in height, and it shall be shielded and downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. In addition, the external lighting shall be located no closer than 100 feet from the common boundary with Lewis Crossing and shall face away from the Lewis Crossing community. O, the final site plan shall state that the agricultural activities exist nearby, and it shall include the agricultural use protection notice. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. Q, because this multifamily rental project was linked with subdivision 2023-14, and the projects have both been expedited and considered simultaneously. As a result, and because of the importance of providing affordable housing for Sussex County residents, construction of this project shall be substantially completed and receive its certificate of occupancy from Sussex County prior to the issuance of a notice to proceed for phase two of subdivision 2023-14. R, the final site plan shall depict or note the conditions, these conditions of approval, and it shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
I second the motion.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2499 North Star property for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and all the conditions stated in the motion.
Okay. Mr. Mayor.
Yes, for the reasons, conditions, and stipulations stated in the motion.
Mr. Collins.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Thank you. And the chair votes yes for the reasons and stipulations stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 2025, North Star Property, LLC.
You might have thought you were done with me, but I'm back. Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change in zone number 2025 for North Star Property, LLC, for a change in zone from AR1 to C3 heavy commercial based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, C3 heavy commercial zoning is designed to allow auto-oriented retail and service businesses that serve local and regional residents. Permitted uses include retail uses, restaurants, offices, and vehicle service stations. Two, the site is frontage along Route 9. Route 9 is identified as a major arterial roadway in the Sussex County Code. This location is appropriate for C3 zoning. Three, the proposed C3 zoning is consistent with other zoning and uses along this area of Route 9, including a large property across the road that is developing within the C1 district with a mixed-use commercial and residential units. There are also properties that are zoned B1. The variety of business and commercial uses in the area include a mixture of shops, a strip mall center, commercial pad sites, a large grocery store, an HVAC business and warehouse, an indoor activity center, hardware store, landscaping supply business, and many other businesses, commercial and office uses. Finally, the site is in relatively close proximity to the Route 1 Five Points intersection and the C1 commercial corridor that exists there. The change in zone to C3 is appropriate in this location given the surrounding development trends. Four, based on all the information in the record, it is now apparent that this change in zone will have an adverse effect on the neighboring or adjacent roadways. Five, the site will be served by central water and sewer. Six, according to the current Sussex County comprehensive plan, this site is designated as being in the coastal area, which is a growth area. Table 4.5-2 of the comprehensive plan states that C3 zoning is appropriate within the coastal area. The plan also states that retail and office uses are appropriate, but larger shopping centers and office parks should find to select locations with access along arterial roads. Based upon the directions of our comprehensive plan, C3 zoning is appropriate in this location. Seven, the property is within the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District. Therefore, any future development will be required to enter into an infrastructure recoupment agreement and pay a TID per unit fee prior to the issuance of every residential building permit. DelDOT has stated that this subdivision is consistent with its projections for the development of this property and the planned roadway improvements with the TID. 8, the proposed rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning code by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. 9, any future use of the property will be subject to site plan review by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. 10, for all these reasons, it is appropriate to recommend approval of this change in zone from AR1 to C3 at this location.
I second the motion.
Yeah. Robertson, I just have one question about item 7. This is a change of zone to commercial. It makes a reference to residential building permits. I certainly hope there won't be any.
And that should be a TID just fee prior to the issuance of the commercial building permits. Let me reread that one just with the correction.
Sounds good.
Let me reread that with the correction. So number 7, the property is within the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District. Therefore, any future development will be required to enter into an infrastructure recoupment agreement and pay a TID fee prior to the issuance of every commercial building permit. DLDOT has stated that this rezoning is consistent with its projection for the development of this property and the planned roadway improvements within the TID.
That is my modified motion.
Sorry about that, Mr. Collins.
I second it.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 2025 North Star Property LLC for the reasons with conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions and stipulations stated in the motion.
Mr. Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, and the chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. All right, our next item is subdivision 2023-01, Anchors Run Expansion.
And Mr. Chairman, I can provide an update on this. The commission may remember this item from the public hearing that was held on the commission's meeting of September 11th. And if the commission recalls, the record was left open to receive additional material from staff and from the applicants. I can now confirm that there's been a comprehensive submittal from the applicants, and staff have worked with the applicant to receive that. So we can now announce receipt of that. And then the other part of the commission's motion was to receive that information and then to allow 10 business days for additional public comment.
So at this point, that would start the 10 days for public comment because we made the announcement today.
Correct, today. Yeah. So, okay.
All right, so no action is really required. This is simply on the record to make that announcement. Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, according to our agenda, it's calling for us